I find God's sense of humor, his sense of timing, fitting and perfect. Most of you know I've been going through the first letter of Peter, and we've been in this first letter for a little while. It is interesting that when I got to the passage that I was to preach on for today, I realized this particular passage is fitting for today, the day that we celebrate the independence of our nation. A nation that we all love, hopefully, a nation that we love, and also a nation that many of us feel a special connection to, a connection maybe just because you are a very patriotic person. For others, you may have served this nation through the military. Others may have served in other forms of public service, whether it be fire, law enforcement, EMS, other forms of public service, maybe serving on governing boards or serving in government itself. Again, you might just be a patriotic person and you love this nation. And all this is good. We want to see our nation succeed, and there are times it's difficult when we believe our nation or our nation's leaders are making bad decisions, or there are decisions and policies that we disagree with. We want to leave this nation a better place for our children to grow and live in, right? I think that's what we would all want, to leave this nation better for our children. When we disagree with the political atmosphere, what do we do? What do we say? This doesn't have to be about politics. It can be about court decisions or other laws that are being enforced. We've gone through a year of governmental mandates and shutdowns from COVID. Some think that it was way too much authority being exercised at the cost of personal freedoms and rights, while others may think that there wasn't enough being done. We all have opinions on this. Many of you have heard my opinions. But no matter what spectrum you're on, we have opinions and we all speak and act based on those opinions. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in debates that we can actually lose sight of something. We can lose sight of seeking the Lord in these areas. Sometimes what we want, what we do, or most of all, what we say might be out of sync with the Lord. There are times this has been an area I've been convicted of. Get into these political debates and get into these conversations about what's going on in our nation. And sometimes I'll feel that little conviction. It's like, hey, wait a second. You stepped a little too far. You're out of sync with what the Lord's Word says. There are many times that we need to be reminded of those things. And today's passage might just be that for you today. For others, it might not have that effect of a conviction at all, because this isn't something out of sync for you, and that's great, but it's still a good reminder. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And if you don't have a Bible, you can read up on the screen with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Seems pretty much to the point, right? I'd like to read that passage again and read it from a different version. Though the message is the same, we just will hear it a little differently. So I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. We first saw submit yourselves to every authority instituted among men in the NIV, and New Living Translation said, respect all human authority. I'll say this is easy when there are things that we understand and agree with, but what about the times we disagree? Now, we don't have a king, but we still have a system of governing authority. Let me put this into a little different perspective. We're reading this from our background in our nation as a democratic government. But imagine for me. Imagine that you're living in a nation that really hates you. The government is singling you out and treating you different, treating you like you are less than human. They are arresting you. They're falsely accusing you. Let's say maybe they've already accused and imprisoned some of your friends or relatives. You may know that some of your friends or relatives have already been beaten or killed. Imagine living in that form of government, and now you're being told to submit or respect those authorities. This government doesn't care or respect you, but you're told to submit and respect them for the sake of the Lord. Could you do that? Would you do that? Now, I just described to you the people Peter is writing to and the government that they're under. We think we have it bad sometimes. But Peter's writing to a people that is persecuted by a terrible government. This is exactly what was going on in Asia Minor. The Roman Empire was the ruling authority. Peter, who wrote this, knew the harshness. He knew the government did nothing to deserve respect, but he is sharing God's revelation, God's word to the people. Submit to the governing authorities. Now, maybe I have a little rebelliousness in me that makes me think, okay, is that really what God wants us to do across the board? Maybe this was just something for those people in Asia that Peter is writing to. Maybe it was just a one-time case. But then I found a few other passages. I'd like to read Titus 3, 1 through 2. Remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. How about Romans 13, 1 through 2? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Kind of takes the wind out of the rebellious sails. Now, there might have been some similar contexts with the Roman rule, the Roman authorities. But at the same time, the message is the same. All these are going to different audiences. Peter wrote the first one out of 1 Peter, but the Apostle Paul wrote these other two, going to different people. We know that this is something that is particularly important to the Lord. So looking back at our passage today, submit to every authority. Submit is really a compound verb in Greek. It means to order oneself under something. Given this verse is to live according to or to live under the governmental order. And I'm reminded that God is a God who is orderly. Chaos is not in His plan. Though we are aliens and foreigners living in this world, we must live here. Heaven may be our home, but God is giving us the important task of following an order that is in place here. We are celebrating the Declaration of Independence today, right? Our nation is founded by rebels. So then I feel like, okay, should we celebrate today, a day of our independence? Or are we celebrating a group of people that rebelled against their governing authorities? Well, what's right? What's wrong? Well, we're not going to judge that here. We're thankful that we live in a free nation. But at the same time, we need to know, how do we live our lives underneath our government? But because they started from a rebellious point to start our nation, it got me thinking. It got me thinking, and is there ever a time that we should not? One author wrote this, "For Peter and the entire church, submit does not imply total obedience across the board. The Israelites and the early Christians participated in civil disobedience when the demands of society overrode the demands of the Lord." Remember the time of Moses that the midwives refused to kill the baby boys? Exodus 1:17, "The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live." Remember the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down and worship the idol. Daniel himself refused to stop praying to God, even though there was an order for that everyone was to worship the king. Even Peter, the author of this letter, refused at one point to obey the religious governing leaders in Acts 4:18. "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" Though I've given a few examples of disobedience to governing authorities, we cannot overlook the fact that we are going to be prone to look for any and all excuses of why we shouldn't submit to authorities. The fact that I am hitting that topic right away means I'm guilty of that right there. We hear the command to submit to our authorities, and my mind immediately goes, yeah, but what about this? And what about this? What about that? You see, several places we see that submitting to authorities is obedience to God. We've seen several scriptures that point to that. And it is a very serious matter when the choice is made to not submit to human authority. And we must seriously be in prayer and fasting if there is consideration to not follow our authorities. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, those cases are pretty clear. They're pretty clear. Peter being told not to speak of Jesus, that's pretty clear. Clear in that the laws were contrary to God. And though the call to submit to human authority seems very clear in the verse we read, applying it to life can sometimes be a little harder. I think one of those areas for me was the whole the COVID shutdown. When we closed our doors to worship together, I think that was an area for me. It's like, is this clear? Is it not clear? I know for some churches, they're like, well, it's clear we should shut down. You know, for others, it's like, okay, but gathering together, worshiping together, that is something that's vitally important to our faith. You know, how do we do this? Online, it has a place, but it's not gathering together like we do here. So when I say there's some times that there's some gray areas, it's not so much gray as it is we need to really spend time in prayer. Because I have an opinion, and I think everyone should have my opinion, because I think I'm right. But at the same time, if that's going against our governing authorities, I need to be careful. I need to be careful. I really think that Peter helps give us a little more insight into maybe how to relate to those areas that we might think are harder to see. And that's looking back just a verse before in 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Public witness is huge for us as individuals and for the church in general. What kind of witness are we being if we're rebellious and a civilly disobedient group? Whether in actions or in disrespectful speech, we're kind of at the center stage for authorities to say, look, it's those Christians. They're the ones that are causing all the problems. I love our deacon elder board and our full board. Some of those conversations we had about when we are closing the doors, this is one of the things that came up. You know, what is our public witness? Now, we may be able to point to Scripture and say, hey, we can be civilly disobedient in this one area because it violates Scripture, but at the same point, are we being a negative? Are we having a bad public witness by doing that too? See, we want people to see Christ working in us as a church and working in us as individuals. So whatever we do, however we act, the things that we say, is Christ being seen in that? Even in the face of persecution for this group that Peter's writing to, even in the face of persecution with a terrible, ungodly government, the Lord calls for submission to those authorities. And in doing so, we bring honor to God. They bring honor to the Lord. I'd like to read on verse 15 of chapter 2. I won't be here for very long, but verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Verse 15, by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. I remember a speaker asking the question of some seminary students and pastors, and I probably said this in a previous message too, but if your church suddenly disappeared and that group of believers were gone from their location and gone from the community, would the community miss them? If Jumper Christ Community Church and all of us that gather here, one day we are gone and we are no longer part of this community, would our community miss us? I feel like that's what this verse is getting at. I don't know how public the church Peter is writing to because of the persecution, but if all those believers were removed, how would that have changed the community? If they were doing good and making a difference, it would have had a negative impact if they were removed. I would hope that if we were removed from our community, if those that are a part of here were removed, that this community would be negatively impacted. Not just because of the ministry programs or things like that, but individuals serve in our communities too. They make a big difference. Then in verse 16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil, but live as servants of God. We are foreigners living in this land. We are free from legalism, and we're free from from bondage and slavery. We are free, but are you willing to submit yourselves to the authorities over you because that is what God is calling you to do? Will you do that willingly? Our lives are not our own. I'm reminded of that. Our lives are not our own. We are bought with a price, and we are given freedom. We are free, but let us use our freedom to serve God in everything we do and in every place we are, and that includes submitting to authorities. And Peter ties everything together with showing proper respect to all. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to have a holy reverence for God, and we are to honor the King. That last part. We are to honor the King. I just want to give you a little insight here. For those Peter is writing to, Nero was the emperor and king. And by all standards, Nero was an evil man. He was evil. Yet they are called to honor the king. Whether president, king, governor, or other authority figure, respect and honor is given because we are called to give it, not because they deserve it or they've earned it. We are called to honor the King because God has called us to do that. For me, that's the challenging part sometimes. It's a reminder for me how I speak and what I say. Have not always done that. Maybe that's a challenge for you. Maybe it's a reminder for you.